When we look at the things in our lives, when you look at the wrecks in your life, and maybe it was a wreck, maybe it was something physical like that, maybe it was a broken relationship, maybe it was a loss of a child or a loss of a loved one, but we've all had those wrecks, those moments when it seemed like everything was shattered. And sometimes the emotional hurts and wounds are much harder to heal. She had to learn to physically learn to walk, and we had to edit out some of the details of that, but Tiffany shared with us that it actually, she looked at her feet, and she was 19. She had walked before. It wasn't something new. And she remembers her body just going, no, I'm not going to do this. And she had to train her body to say, I'm going to take this next step and the next step and the next step. And how do we do that? How can we, when we are knocked down in life, how can we, when things happen and we just want to say, no, I'm not taking the next step? How can we turn to God in that moment and ask Him to be our hope, to be our rehabilitator? Many of you know this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. That's a good thing to know right there. That's enough. Just even having that part of it is interesting and welcoming and hopeful. But the best part is, he says, I have plans to prosper you and not harm you, to bless you, to give you hope and a future. But Jason, how in the world is a 19-year-old in a wreck a blessing? How is a 19-year-old in a wreck, is that a plan to have you give life instead of harming? How is that prospering? And in that moment, it's always hard to tell. But God knows the future, and He knows the outcome. Sometimes when shepherds have sheep, and some of you may know this, that when shepherds have sheep and they have a problem straying and wandering away, one of the things that a shepherd will do is break the leg of the lamb and then carry the lamb until the leg heals. And two things happen. One, the lamb doesn't run away anymore. But two, in that process of healing, the lamb gets to be intimately related to the shepherd and learns to bond with the shepherd in a way that he never had before. So then when the shepherd now leads, the lamb follows. I was reminded this week from a quote from A.Z. Tozer that says that sometimes God cannot use us until He wounds us. That sometimes it is the very hardships that bring about a closeness to Him. I remember hearing Tony Dungy speak a few years ago at a Promise Keepers, and he was sharing the story about the death of his son. If you're not familiar, Tony Dungy was a football coach for a team that you may be familiar with, the Indianapolis Colts, which, by the way, he learned how to play football with a greater team called the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he had a son. Now, this is Tony Dungy. This is mentoring leadership 101. This guy goes around and has mentored and poured into the lives of thousands of men and helped them grow in Christ and in their manhood and in citizenship. And his own son rejected those teachings and leaderships. And his own son delved into the world of drugs and destruction and eventually one day took his own life. And I remember hearing Tony Dungy share the story because a reporter asked him, if you could go back and change your son dying, would you do it? And Tony paused for a while and he said, this was my answer. No. And here's why. Because of that brokenness, it made me that much more passionate to go and spread the news of Jesus Christ. Because of that brokenness, I knew I had to reach the next generation. And he reamped and jumped up his efforts to reach out to more and more people with the message of Jesus Christ and the message of hope and the message that you are loved and you matter. And he shared some intimate stories with some others who, because of his ministry now, had turned away from drugs and alcohol and turned away from destructive lifestyles and who had rejected the option of suicide and instead chose life. Do I wish my son's still alive? He said, yes. But just like God our Father who sent his son to die, if it means the death of my son to create life for others, who am I to change that plan? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 and 34. One of the very first things I want to admit is that we cannot always understand his plan. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, Paul writes. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? We wish sometimes that we could counsel God, do we not? God, I think you made a mistake over here. I think we should have done it this way. Maybe if you would have just done that, maybe it would be better. How many of us wish to be, when it says here, he is unsearchable in his judgments and his paths are beyond tracing out? Wouldn't it be nice if he kind of, when we became a Christian, gave us like a spiritual GPS? And you could just speak to it, kind of its own, your own personal Siri there. Tell me what's going to happen 2 years from now. Searching. In 2 years, you will be... Now, if you had that, and it was a good time, you might be like, hey, I'm looking forward to that. But what if it was not? What if you found out 2 years from now you had cancer, or your spouse had cancer, or your child was gone? I think that God purposely does not lay out everything for us and give us a printed Google map in life so that we can enjoy the moment. That we can have joy right now because trouble is coming. But he encourages us to let us know that if you will please trust me and walk the path, you will get to a destination that is far greater than you could ever imagine. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? No one. No one. He alone sets his path. He alone sets the paths for us. And if we will trust him. I have never had to face serious illness or problems with my children, but I remember one night when Jalen spiked a fever and we took her to the emergency room. She was about 4 or 5 years old. Little tiny body, just racked with fever. She had a really bad case of pneumonia, which can be threatening if you don't take care of it. And the doctor said, I could give you some oral antibiotics, but I believe that it's advanced so fast and so violently that she needs intravenous antibiotics. And so we took her arm, and because she was, of course, opposing this treatment, they had to put a little stent, a little piece of wood, and bandage her arm to that so her arm would stay stiff. And I remember them putting that needle in her arm. And I remember them starting to force that antibiotic in the arm. The doctor told us, he said, it'll be a burning sensation in her arm because of pushing those antibiotics in. And here was my daughter crying, and I'm holding her, and her looking in my face and telling me, Daddy, why are you doing this? It was the doctors doing it, but she saw me. Daddy, why are you doing this? And with tears in my eyes, I told her, it's because I love you and this will make you better. Now, that is a very small, insignificant moment. But it is just a glimmer of what I believe God must suffer. Because as God the Father, to look down and see his children in pain and suffering and crying out, "Why, Daddy? Why are you doing this?" And with a broken heart, him answering back, "Because I love you." If we will submit to him and trust him to follow his plans, he has a purpose for that. The second thing I want us to see today is that his plans produce perseverance. Perseverance is a quality that is not so valued today. It is perseverance that allowed a generation during World War II to become the greatest nation, to do without so that others had, to do what needed to be done. But too often, my generation and those following me want immediate satisfaction, and perseverance and waiting is not a quality that we cherish. "Consider it pure joy," James writes. "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Let your perseverance finish its work. You are a work in progress. I am a work in progress until the day that I breathe my last breath. God is continuing to work with us. I was reminded of this as I sat one afternoon talking with Amy's grandmother, who was 101 at the time. And she asked, "Do you think God's done with me yet? Because I'm still alive, so he must be wanting me to do something." We're like, "Well, you've raised a whole herd of kids, and they've raised a bunch of grandkids, and you have poured into her little hometown of Shawneetown, Illinois. Nearly all 500 residents knew who she was, because she had to take care of the little old lady down the street who was 70. But the heart of that, I looked at that and I am amazed, 101, and asking, "Do you think God is done with me yet?" She also asked Amy about that same time when she heard the news reports about how that the elderly were being affected by the new healthcare system. And she said, "Now, am I considered elderly?" Perseverance to the end. To the last day that she was still on this earth, she was giving advice, helping us out, be better parents, telling us how it used to be. Made it to the end. Don't give up on an unfinished project. Too many times we like to start things and never finish. We had a problem in our bathroom growing up that we had one of those bathroom shower walls that had those ceramic tiles, which also had the ceramic soap dish that's all attached to the wall. And as a kid, we thought it was really fun because we thought it was a handle. And you could kind of get on the one end of the tub and grab that and slide yourself off to the other end of the tub. Like it was a water slide. It was really fun until we pulled it off the wall one night. Now, my parents weren't too happy. And my dad was like, "I'll fix it." And he said, "Just in the meantime, though, let me go get some duct tape." Because duct tape fixes everything. And he covered the hole with duct tape. After my dad passed away, and we were selling the house, we hired a man to come in and take that duct tape off and put that up there, that another soap dish, so we could sell the house. An unfinished project. How many unfinished projects in our lives do we have? We give up We don't want to go through it. Now, any of us who have ever started a diet or exercise plan, you're like, Jason, don't go there. Perseverance is the key, right? It's really good the first week. Man, that first time you work out, the first week you've lost a pound or two. But then you kind of hit that plateau. Or your life gets busy. It's just easier to go through the drive-thru. And the perseverance gets thrown out the window. And it's okay. I read this last week that those people who lost weight of 15 pounds or more and kept it off have a lower happiness level than those who never lost weight. So I'm not going to take a risk with my mental health. I'm just going to keep my weight. But guys, all kidding aside, our spiritual health is no laughing matter. We will have to deal with the things we did or did not do when we stand before our Father and He asks us, what did you do with what I gave you? I gave you a project. Now, for some of us, the projects are small. Sometimes they're big. Sometimes they're unbelievably large, and you can't comprehend them until they're done. As I mentioned earlier with the Global Leadership Summit, Bill Hybels started with the simple idea was he had leaders in his church and he wanted to train them. And then the following year they said, can we bring some friends? Because that was really good training. And it started building. Until they were running out of space in their sanctuary, which holds about 12,000 people, and said, you know what would be a good idea? Why don't we simulcast this to other places? And now there are men and women in places like Myanmar and Albania and in the Middle East where otherwise they would never receive leadership training or encouragement through Christian leaders because one guy had this idea. What is the thing that God may be planting in you? What project is in you that maybe you have stopped or given up on? If you will have perseverance, you can perhaps finish it. Romans 5 tells us more about perseverance. Paul writes this, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, there are two words in there that most people in this society do not value, perseverance and character. But the Bible tells us that it is because of our sufferings we will produce those qualities. Our troubles lead to hope. If we will persevere, if we will be calm in the storm, if you've ever been around an emergency, you want your emergency responders to be calm. If you have a nurse that's frantic because there's blood on the floor, you don't want that nurse. If your doctor walks in and faints because you have a wound, get another doctor. If you have prayer partners or small groups or accountability partners spiritually that when trouble comes and you want to share with them, they go, I don't want to hear it. Find a new group. Because it is then that you find the reality of who you are. A Christian is like a sponge. He's supposed to come or she come and soak up the Word of God and the presence of God in groups like this and in small group and in service and in personal devotion. But the reality is a sponge only works because of what, when you squeeze it, comes out. So I ask you today, if God was to put the test to you and squeeze you, what's going to come out? Christ-likeness? Patience and peace and perseverance and love and character and hope? are things like griping and complaining and unloving, hateful, resentful. In the end, all of this is to help us to produce faith. His plan is to strengthen our faith. 1 Peter 1 says this, "Now for a little while, you have been made to suffer grief and all kinds of trouble. These have come so that proven the genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Now, I love how Peter writes this, that just for a little while, for some of us, it is a little while. That night, Jalen received the antibiotics. By the next day, she was fine. And we've gone on with life. But for some, it's a lifelong challenge, physically, mentally, spiritually. But even then, in the concept and perspective of the entire universe, an entire beginning, Alpha to Omega, it is just a moment. It is just a little while to test the genuineness of our faith so that we may result in praise and glory and honor to who? Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is revealed, when he returns, when he comes, and when we are called home to be with him. Peter is writing about that our faith, like gold, tested by fire, will be refined. In Revelation, we see a picture of heaven and the new kingdom. The only thing that we get to carry in is our praise and our glory and our honor for him. You could build kingdoms, great cathedrals, great ministries, great programs, but none of that goes with you. Only the praise and glory and honor that you produce for Christ goes with you. How do we achieve that? By going through sufferings. By going through the plan that God has laid out for us. Are we willing to trust him? Are we willing to say to him, "Lord, your will be done"? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much. Thank you that you protect us by once, for one thing, not revealing everything that's going to happen in our life so that we can walk in joy and love and happiness for today. But God, I just rejoice that when those times come that are a trial, that's a testing, God, that you allow us to walk with you. Help us to trust you. Help us to have perseverance, so that you can create character and hope and faith in us, so that we may bring glory and honor to your name, for it is the only thing that will last. In your name we pray. Amen.